Welcome to the next module in the series of migrating from Windows XP through to Windows 7 on the Microsoft Virtual Academy. My name is Kyle Rosenthal, and my Twitter account is on there. So if you do want to send me a tweet, feel free to. If you have any comments, queries, anything like that. Today's module, or what we're going to discuss now, is installing Windows 7 on a Windows XP machine. Now, this is just simply a straight-up install. There's nothing tricky about this at all. This is just simply I want to be able to put into place. I've got an existing Windows XP box, and I now want to turn it into a Windows 7 machine. Now, the reason we might do this is, say, for instance, this might be your beginning of a proof of concept to see that Windows 7 is suitable for your environment, and starting to test applications as an example. Now, one of the things that we've discussed previously, and if you haven't listened to any of the previous modules, I would encourage you to go back and have a look. In particular, have a listen to the modules on USMT, because we will have an assumption of knowledge with regards to USMT as we start running through within here. So if I start saying USMT and hard link migration, and you don't know what I'm talking about, then have a look at the previous sessions to be able to sort of clarify that for you. Certainly, as we've discussed, there's no direct upgrade path as such. Say for instance that you would have found between, say, Windows 2000 and Windows XP. Instead, now what we've got is we're doing a brand new deployment, and everything with Windows 7 is a deployment. So we actually lay down an image over the top of an existing box, and what that will then do is that will then essentially give us a brand new machine with some of the existing settings carried across, but generally we want to be able to use USMT to be able to capture those. We'll also see that there are some, all the existing files are still retained. They're just potentially hived off into a different location. So let's have a look. So first off, how to perform the sort of things we're going to be looking at, how to perform a Windows 7 installation on a Windows XP machine, the different methods of installation. Really, there's only a couple of different methods that we can really consider within here, and certainly then files and folders that are created, and therefore what you can kind of clean up and what to expect if you are doing this, if you're performing the Windows 7 install onto an existing Windows XP machine. As I said, there's nothing fancy within here. We're not doing anything in particular with regards to automating the process or anything like that, but we're just doing a simple straight-up installation. So the installation steps. Well, first off, you need to get the Windows 7 DVD or Windows 7 ISO. So whether that's a download from TechNet or MSDN, if you grab the ISO the ISO down, you then might want to put that, like, burn that off onto a DVD, in which case you've then created the DVD to be able to do your upgrade from if it's a physical box. Or alternatively, hey, look, you might have run it to your local computer store and purchased Windows 7 on a DVD, in which case you've then got physical media to be able to do your installation of. Okay, what about if you want to retain the settings between Windows XP and Windows 7? Well, if that's the case, then what you have to do is you have to do some migration first. So whether that's run USMT first, and that's either using the hard link migration or just the standard migration. Either of those will work because it's the same machine that we're actually functioning off. The other alternative, or the other thing to bear in mind, is if we're doing just simply onto the same machine, we could also use the Windows Easy Transfer as well. So again, if you are thinking what's Windows Easy Transfer, then have a look back at the previous sessions with regards to what we've covered within there, and that will then give you the information for running it. But if we're doing Windows Easy Transfer, remembering that this is going to be listed as the old machine, and then eventually it will also become the new machine. So just bear that in mind. So basically, what we do is we, if we do want to retain all the settings, then we have to capture them first. So running USMT or running Windows Easy Transfer, we then run the installation from the DVD, so from the DVD media or the ISO, and then once we've completed it, we then install all the applications. Okay. Now, the reason that we have to install all the applications, because it's a fresh image that we're putting across, there, as we said, there's no upgrade as such. So we need to go and make sure that all the applications are installed that you're going to be using before we then run USMT. And in this case, it'll be running the load state to be able to load all the information across, or alternatively, the Windows Easy Transfer, in which case we then would say this is the new machine that we then run the information across. Now, remembering if we're using USMT hard link migration, that it's going to be a lot faster than using any of the other sort of migration tools. And then finally, the final step would be to join the domain if the machine was originally a domain joined box. There is a folder which we'll see created called the windows.old folder. Now the windows.old folder effectively contains all of the files and settings that are migrated to be able to migrate from Windows XP to the newly installed Windows 7, but it just puts them all into one, hives them off into one folder. Now the idea being that, say for instance, all of your files, if you're doing the migration on the same machine, if you're going from XP up to 7, those files will still exist in that .old, like, so that's anything that used to be in the Windows folder gets put into windows.old. So you can pull some of that out. The more, like, the neater way to be able to do it though is certainly by using USMT or Windows Easy Transfer, because then what that will do is it'll actually do all the edits for you with regards to things like your with regards to the registry edits, that sort of thing, without you having to manually go and do anything. However, any of the files that were previously under the Windows directory will still be retained under that windows.old. Okay. Now, the important thing to do is basically once you've got all the files out that you want to be able to use, you can then go and delete that windows.old directory to free up some space. Another important thing is that if you are using hard link migration, that simply deleting the windows.old folder doesn't delete the files that you've migrated, because they're obviously still existing on the disk wherever they were previously. All right, so let's have a look to see what this process actually looks like as I switch over to my Windows XP machine. Okay, so what I've done is I've just simply put the Windows 7 DVD into my Windows XP machine, and automatically you get prompted up with the to install Windows 7. Before we actually go diving into that, what I do want to do is just have a quick look inside the DVD, just so you can see what else is actually contained in here. So certainly there's a setup .exe file that I could install. So rather than, like, if the automatic auto run didn't work, or if I wanted to, I could actually run it from within the run the setup manually. That would then prompt me up to run the wizard up. if I go into the sources, what we'll see into here, if I just adjust the view into here, I'm going to sort by size. What you'll see into here is you'll see two WIM files that are contained in here. There's an install.wim and then there's a boot.wim. Now, what are those two different files? The boot.wim is the Windows PE version, like, it's a modified version of Windows PE, which is designed to be able to install Windows 7. So therefore, if I was to just simply boot off the DVD, that's what I would see if I booted to that, I would then get the modified version of Windows PE, which is my boot environment. The install.wim file that's there is actually the installation image for Windows 7. Okay. Now, what's contained within there? Well, it's basically got contained in there all the files that are required to install the different versions of Windows 7 that you see here. And this is the Windows 7 Ultimate, Professional, Home Premium, Home Basic, and Starter. Now, the CLG files that I've just pointed out there, these CLG files, they're actually of... they just simply have the settings that are available to be able to make modifications and to be able to set in the auto runs, or so the automatic answer files. So remember when we discussed in one of the previous modules, we discussed using the System Image Manager tool, and said in the System Image Manager tool, you've got the ability to be able to create answer files or the unattended files. Effectively, what that does is it takes those catalog files, which is the catalogue of all the settings that are available, and gives us the ability to be able to create something off that. Okay, so just very brief little look into some of the important things that exist within the Windows 7 DVD. Now, the other thing just to bear in mind within there is that with that with those WIM files, what the main WIM file, the install.wim file is, it's a sysprepped, hardware-agnostic Windows image file. Okay, so what does that mean for us? That means that I could take this DVD, as long as I had the 32-bit version or the 64-bit version and was putting that onto the right version of the hardware, I could take this DVD and I could then put it anywhere. Now, the really cool thing that points us to is this, is that it then gives us the indication that Windows 7 is, I can take a Windows 7 image and pretty much lay it down wherever I want to. So it does mean that I can have a single image within reason. Obviously, there's some restrictions with regards to device drivers. That's a thing that I'll need to add in. But within reason, I can have an image for Windows 7 that I could put onto a laptop, that I could put onto a desktop. I don't now have to maintain multiple images, which is a great bonus for me. Okay, so let's kick off the installation process. So I'm going to kick off the install, and we'll get that started up. Setup does the temporary file copy. Now, if you've done Windows XP installations, this is essentially the same sort of thing that we would see under Windows XP when it does that first initial copy of the installs. It's just that now it's a much more GUI sort of environment to be able to go into. It's the same with regards to our installation as well. Like if you're doing a Windows XP install, it's kind of more graphical. So it's in a text-based environment for the first half of the install, and then it flips over to the graphical. Now we actually have the ability to be able to do all of that as part of, like, it's all graphical based, regardless of whether you've initiated from within Windows or alternatively if you've actually initiated it from outside of Windows, so by booting up. Ordinarily, I would actually go online and get the latest updates, and this is really good because what it does is it actually slipstreams then into the installation all of the updates for devices and that sort of thing, and it makes it far more likely that you're going to get a complete install of all of your device drivers if it can actually see the devices if it can reach the device drivers from Windows Update as part of the installation. Okay, in this case, I'm going to say no, simply because I don't have access to the internet on this particular machine. I'm, of course, going to accept all the license agreement. And I have the option to be able to do an upgrade, or alternatively do a custom. Okay, so custom advanced basically just wipes everything. Okay, instead what I'm going to do is I'm going to do an upgrade. This is because I've got an existing version and I've actually been able to install from within here. Now, one of the things that it says, it's come up and says you can't directly upgrade from Windows XP to Windows 7. It's true, I can't, because they're a different operating system. So therefore, it's saying you need to be able to learn how to use Windows Easy Transfer to be able to do your installs, and go online to be able to download that. So that's what we were discussing before about using Windows Easy Transfer to be able to do that. So select custom. Where am I going to put this into? I'm going to put this into the same partition as where my system currently exists. If I did want to make any changes to the underlying installation, so the underlying partition or anything like that, I'd actually have to do that from outside of Windows, so reboot and come in off the CD in order for that to work. Okay, so then it'll now start the copy process. It copies the files off the disk and puts it across onto the local machine. As it starts doing this, essentially what it's doing is it's putting it into a temporary folder. That temporary folder is then where it'll be able to access for the rest of the process. So we're going to leave this run and we'll come back after we've got to the next stage. So the copy process is all finished now. We've now rebooted and automatically we've now got I've booted into an entry which is the new setup of Windows. So that's now taking me across directly into Windows 7 or the Windows 7 portion of the setup, the next part of it. So what we've now gone into is we've gone into effectively that custom version of Windows P that I was talking about before, and it's now starting the process of doing the installation of Windows. And again, what we'll do is you'll see this kind of blink as we go through, because rather than have you watch every single step along the way, we're just going to do a little bit at a time, just to sort of keep you informed as to how the process is running, and then get to the point of us having an installation. So we've just done another setup, and you'll notice that it came out and it asked us to see if it asked us if we wanted to go to the old version, to be able to roll back. So sort of your last time of get out of jail, if you like. And now it's starting back up again into Windows. And this time it's actually going to be taking us into Windows 7 to be able to complete the setup. And so as those final steps, basically what it's doing now is it's coming in and asking us if, you know, it's doing the registry settings, it's going to be doing hardware detection. It's going to be the final sort of cleanup, if you like, of the installation to make sure it's all ready to go. Setup then starts all the services and gets them up and running for us. And then we sort of get the final check mark to say that everything's going to be completed. Now, if we'd actually had installed, or if we'd had access to the internet, then essentially all of the completing of installations and that sort of thing would actually, before we got to that, it would have actually gone out and live got all of the updates and applied those for us. So basically, everything that was required up until this point would already be patched and serviced. It's just done the test to see if to set all the graphics in, and then we've got one final restart, and we know that we're near the end because we're getting the message about the setup preparing the computer for the first time, and then we get prompted for our normal sort of setup environment. And obviously, depending on what version you're installed, will depend on what gets displayed into here. So we're just going to fill in some details into here. And again, bearing in mind that this is the consumer setup that we're taking, so that's why it's some information in here about, you know, password hints and that sort of thing that we'd put in. Just one little thing, you can't use the password as the password hint. I have a standard password that I use for my test machine, so I'm just going to put normal password for mine. Obviously, you would put something that's a little bit more useful. Now, ordinarily at this point, I would put in a product key to be able to put into place. I'm actually going to not put in a product key for this one. And the reason being because I'm going to be putting, I'm just going to use this as my test bed. So I do have the ability to be able to evaluate any version of Windows 7 without having to put a product key into place. And again, normally I'd put into here the using recommended settings, adjust the time zone for wherever your particular time zone is. And in this case, I'm connected to a work network. Now, all of those sort of information, that sort of information is actually what would be answered by one of our answer files if we put that into place. So then what I've done is I've actually now successfully installed Windows 7 on top of my Windows XP box. Now, for all intents and purposes, now what I have is I have a Windows 7 machine. My Windows XP machine, like the Windows XP records and that sort of thing, are gone or being shuffled into the Windows .old folder, but any of the files and folders that I would have had in place, they still exist. But if we have a look in here, so I can now see that all my files that existed before and folders, they all still exist, but now my Windows.old is my old containers, so documents and settings for my old users, as well as the program files, that I used to have. Obviously not the applications and Windows and the Windows directory. Okay, so that's what you would eventually go and clean up. But otherwise, you know, I have into here just a simple standard installation of Windows 7 that's now been put in place of my Windows XP box. So that's how to do it. That's how to do an installation of Windows 7 on top of Windows XP. So now if we just go back over to our slides, we've done the demo there. So in summary, make sure that you do use USMT or Windows Easy Transfer to be able to transfer the files and settings across, because otherwise they all do exist, as we've seen. They still exist in that Windows.old directory, but they're not linked to anything, so therefore there's no there's no use for you to be able to, there's nothing useful for you. So therefore we need to make sure that we actually do capture those first off. So capture them either by using a hard link migration, or alternatively put them onto a USB stick somewhere or a network location. Start from within Windows XP, so we start the process from within Windows XP, and then once you've done all of your file copies and captured everything that you need to capture and keep, then make sure you do delete that Windows.old. And the reason being because that's then going to have unencrypted files that you might not necessarily want other people to have access to. So some other useful links for you to be able to use and leverage off. There is some guidance on installing Windows 7 on Windows XP up on TechNet. In addition to that, the Springboard series has some really good step-by-steps of that process, you know, basically what we've just gone through. And there is also the Windows 7 IT Pro TechNet forums, which are available to, you know, trying to help you along with regards to getting support if you do run into any troubles with regards to getting your installation done. So as always, the further information for you to be able to get to, there is the TechNet eval center to be able to download eval disks, and if you're wanting to test something out, it's a really good place to stop. Also, TechNet has all the information, basically all the information that we refer to within the MVA course. It's all contained within there for you to be able to leverage off as well. And IT camps, again, have a look at your at the IT camps that might be trundling around your country to see if there's anything that you might be able to leverage off. And of course, the Microsoft Virtual Academy, which is where you've gone to be able to get this particular module. Don't forget, this is part of a overall course that we're running, so make sure you do pick up the rest of the modules. In particular, if you haven't looked at the USMT ones as yet, make sure you go on and have a look at USMT. All right, great. We'll see you in the next session. Thank you very much, and my name is Kyle Rosenthal.